throwing that iPad down on the ground. That would have been bad. Tonight, as we sang through that song, I really was impressed. We had talked about this series that we're going through a few weeks ago, but to be honest, I had prepared a lot of what I'm going to say tonight just within the past week. I had disconnected the set list for tonight from the set list is the songs we just sang from what I was talking about, and I had not even considered the idea that the heartbeat of heaven is really what we're going to be talking about tonight. The reality that the heartbeat of heaven is redemption. It's rescue. It's the heartbeat of heaven towards us is God's love towards us. And a clear and present example of that is the concept of adoption that's found in the Bible. And tonight, as we continue through the series of Who Do You Think You Are? That statement, we're going to be talking tonight about the fact that you were chosen before time began. That you are chosen. And the Bible speaks clearly to that. And we're going to dig in and just and talk about that. But this week, I was reading stories online of adoption. And some of these stories, if you want to be moved in your heart of and issues of compassion, all you have to do is Google adoption stories and start reading what families have done to reach these children that they want to care for. There was one family that went over to China. And in the midst of their travels, after spending 30s and 40s and 50s thousands of dollars, they got on a plane. After they already spent like 50 grand just on paperwork and the stuff to get out of the way to get there, they took 2 weeks to go over to China, go through all, fight these battles. This whole rundown of this, this amazing story of how they traveled to China and went through customs and were basically just accosted by the safety people there. The difficulty in getting the children from the orphanage, and then the story of bringing them home and the tantrums that the kids were throwing, and the 35 hours on a bus that they traveled with four kids and brought them home, and all these different stories of rescue and adoption online that I read just reminded me of how precious adoption is and how beautiful it is that families all over the world pay money. They take from what they have. They give sacrificially to give other children in other parts of the country and other parts of the world hope. Hope that they wouldn't have. Even some children that would be left on the street dead are now in homes, safe homes in America because people have traveled across the world to get them and to bring them into a safe environment. And the parallel there is easy to see in God. As He calls us adopted, if you've been around the church very long, you know that God has gone to tremendous lengths to bring you home to Himself. And tonight we get to talk about, and I'm excited to share with you, this idea that you were chosen before time began. The reality that God didn't see you and think, well, maybe that person could be in part of my family someday. But the verses we're going to read, as we see them up on the screen, show us clearly that God has a plan for everyone. Not just that He has a plan, but He had a plan since before time began, and that plan clearly involves you, and that He chose you. So we're going to talk about that tonight. If you can, open your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 3 through 10 just at the start of tonight, and then unpack them some and talk about why is it important that you were chosen. Let's pray. I'm going to spout my gum real gross. You see that? All you gum people are just grossed out right now. Let's pray. Father, I praise You. And I thank You for what has already begun to happen tonight in the lives and hearts of every person in this room. I pray that You would continue Your work through this message, that You would help me to communicate clearly Your message of truth and love. God, help each of us to understand our value and to understand our position before You and the freedom that comes through knowing You. I praise You and I thank You for this room, for this place, and everybody in it. Help me, Lord. Amen. Amen. It starts out like this. This is Paul writing a letter to the Ephesians. This is a church that he went and planted, and it's growing now, and he's writing a letter to them of encouragement, of teaching. And this is what he writes. This is right in the beginning of the letter. He says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us, I want that real big in your minds, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So that means, just break right there for a second. before the foundations of the world were formed, like back way in Genesis when God like made earth and water and those things, when the earth was formed, before that, he chose you. He chose us, okay? Before that. It's going to be important. That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ and daughters. Just in case you don't know, sons is like a generic term for everybody, like mankind. The sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Amen. I love this passage. It is full of good stuff for us. If you want to start somewhere and start digging apart the Bible and start figuring out what God says about who you are and what your life is, dig into this. Tonight we only have time to talk about this idea of how he chose us. Now I want to break that down some and explain to you why that's important and what the next step for you is. If you don't understand that God has chosen you and you've never really experienced the love that he has for you, tonight could be your opportunity to experience that love. Okay, so what is it when somebody makes a choice? What does it mean to choose something? Well, most of you make choices every day, right? You choose one thing over another. You choose a Big Mac or a Whopper. You choose the potato nuggets. What are the tater tots? They still call them tater tots. I always used to choose the tater tots over the vegetable, whatever that was. And tater tot lovers in the room, do they still have those? What do you call them? More taters for tots? Huh. It's just on TV now. They don't even give them away. Well, you get choices. You get choices for your food. You get choices for your TV watching. You even get choices now for what apps you want to download on your phone right now. You could be doing that. You could have all kinds of choices all day. But if we take a look at what it means to have a choice, we would see this. This is the definition on freedictionary.com. It means to pick out or select something or someone as being the best or most appropriate of two or more alternatives. Okay? So it's choosing the one that's most appropriate. It's choosing that one thing that makes the most sense. The second part of that definition is decide on a course of action. It's to decide on a course of action, typically after rejecting alternatives. And even in this freedictionary.com, it says the example sentence was, he chose to go. I thought that was appropriate. He chose to go. So it's the idea of choosing the most appropriate someone or something combined with the action of rejecting alternatives. Okay, so let's put this in the text. So we know that God chose us before time began, before the foundations of the earth were set. God chose you. He chose me for something. Okay, we're not going to get into the for something yet, but he chose you. You're sitting in a seat right now, and I want you to hear God chose you before time began. That means that there were alternatives that he dismissed. Instead of doing something outside of choosing you, instead, he chose you. He could have washed his hands of all of us and said, forget it, they're not worth it. That's an alternative that he could have chosen. Instead, he chose you. He chose me. He decided on a course of action and rejected the alternatives. God said that before time began, he knew that someday, at some point, we were going to reject him. He knew that. And he said, you know what? They're going to reject me. They're going to push me back. They're going to push away. And when they do, I'm going to choose them anyway. I'm going to take action towards them for their good, for their hope. Paul says, so that they would be adopted, so that we could be adopted. So what does it mean that you are chosen? What does it mean that you're chosen before time began for something by God? The first thing it means is that you have value. You have amazing value. Value that's not associated with what you wear, how much you make, what college you go to, what high school you go to. Value that is not attached to your behavior. Value that's not attached to what church you go to. Value that's not attached to what family you come from. who your boyfriend is, who your girlfriend is, what your preferences are. Value that is not attached to anything you control. Value that is attached to something and someone that chose you before time began. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? Because there is an importance, a crazy importance that needs to be settled right here, because so many of us, so many of you and me, we go to things other than God for our value. Right? Don't we? I mean, if we're honest, don't we? Maybe we feel a little bit more valuable when we win the award, or when we bring home the 100 on our test, or when we get that girl or get that guy, or when that guy says to us he loves us, we feel all the more valuable. Today, I was faced with a rough question. Somebody asked me, what is your song? What is your song? You know, every good relationship has a song, right? And I was like, I'll tell you what, as soon as that question got posed, I knew I was being devalued really fast. Right, Tara? Yeah. I was so devalued, she's leaving. She's like, oh, no. I love her. My daughter got sick, so my wife's going to take care of her. Oh, okay. Love you. It's kind of sick that you're clapping because my daughter's sick. What's going on? I hope she's okay. Anyway, it's interesting because in a moment I'm going to talk to you about parenting, and that might get emotional for me, so stick with me. God chose us before time began. It means clearly that we have the opportunity to say to the world around us, you don't matter. You don't matter to my value. People who you say these things, that you try to devalue me, you don't matter. Or a person that you're trying to impress me with your skills, you don't matter to my value. Because God Almighty has chosen me for adoption. He's chosen me, and it doesn't depend on the things that this world can give you. For everybody. Now get this, guys, it doesn't depend on a prayer you prayed last year at youth convention. It doesn't depend on an event that took place 2 weeks ago in Speculator, New York. God's love for you is present, and he chose you long before any of those things ever happened. Get that. Get that tonight. If you don't get that, if you think that, oh, I already got that, I heard that before, then you don't get it. If you think in your mind that, yeah, I know God chose me, I know, I get that, I've heard that a couple times, then that tells me right off, you don't get it. Because if this truth sinks down in you, if you realize who God is and his glory and his holiness and the fact that he created all things and that we have done such wrong to separate ourselves from him, and the reality that he's chose you through that is to you just kind of this idea and that you've heard before and you can kind of push aside, you don't get it. You don't get it. Let this sink down deep. That the God of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who breathed life into mankind, said, when you spit in my face, when you push me away, when you make a mistake, I choose you. I love you. When you go to other things instead of to me, when you choose to find your value in other stuff, I choose you. He said that, and he meant it, and he laid his life on the line for you. That's your value in him. The God of heaven and earth loves you. It doesn't change. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't increase. The God of all creation placed a value on you associated with his own life laid down for you that will never change. Position. Value is something you get when God chooses you. Position is something you get when you respond to his adoption for you. Now here's what happens. God says, those who respond to my love, those who love me, are my children. Right? The Bible actually teaches that when you respond to God's love, when you say, God, you chose me, I love you too. Thank you. Take my life. Have it. In that moment, before you change a thing, before you change your behavior, nothing has to change. In that moment, you become a son of God or a daughter of the King. And here's what happens when that happens. When your position changes towards God, here's what happens. Did you know there's only three people in the world that can call me dad? Did you know there's only three people in the world that can call me dad, and it really be true? Their names are Jeremiah, Mariah, and Selah. Okay? If Jeremiah, Mariah, or Selah come to me and say, Dad, can I have $5 for snacks tonight? Can I have a drink of water? Can I have this? They don't say, hey, Jeremiah, can I have that? No, they say, Dad, I need something. Help. They are able to get from me what they need, not because they know my name, not because they even call me Dad, but because they're my children. Because I love them more than anything in the world. So much so that right now, it's really hard for me to communicate to you because all I can think about is my little girl being sick. And you know what? When we respond to God's love for us, in the blink of an eye, we become His children. And He says, to you, I'm your daddy. So the answer of who's your daddy is solved. That question is totally over. Because when you respond to God's love for you, you become, you get positionally the inheritance that only a child of the King gets. Does that make sense? So when I die, all my stuff is going to go to one of my three kids. It's going to be split up some way between them. They have an inheritance. So they have a position in our family that is dictated by the fact that they're my children. And in the same way, the Bible tells us that children of God, people who have responded to God's love for them, are His children, and they have an inheritance. That inheritance is not gold, it's not a business, it's not a house, it's grace and peace and love and joy and the fruits of the Spirit that dwell in us when we are His children. All available to people who respond to God's love. Thirdly, what you get when God chooses you, when you respond to that choice, you get freedom. Now, here's what happens. There's lots of things in this world that choose you. Lots of things, right? Like, if you have athletic ability, there will be an athletic director or a coach that notices that, and they'll choose you to be on their team. If you have musical talent, there will be people in your life that choose you to be part of their ensemble, to be part of their orchestra. If you have artistic talent, there will be people that choose you to be part of their show, to be part of their gallery. If you can speak well, people will choose you to be up in front. There's all different reasons why you can be chosen by different people. But when those people, when those earthly things choose you, they come at a price. They come with weight. And the weight that they come with, I'm not saying that's bad, but what I'm saying is it can get real heavy real fast. And if you begin to get your value and your position in this life from the weight of those things that choose you, your freedom that you thought you had will quickly turn into shackles and heavy weights. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know the pressure to perform for an athletic team, and if you don't, the weight that comes along with the shame and guilt for not being able to perform. Some of you know what it means to get your value from a parent that is never satisfied with your performance. Some of you know what it's like to get your value from a youth leader and feel insecure because they haven't patted you on the back enough. Some of you know what it's like just to not get any value at all and feel lost because of it. When you realize that God chose you, you will get freedom from the weights of approval in the world. And you'll be able to walk in your talents, in your giftings, free and light, because you know that your value is not associated with your ability to do those things, but it's associated with the God who gave them to you. So these are three things that you get from the idea, from the principle that God chose you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, it says this. You can read along. It's going to be up on the screen too, but I want to read this to you. It says, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. And God prepared things for you who love Him. He has prepared amazing things for those who turn to Him instead of to the things of this world. You can have immense value. You can have crazy position before God, clean and righteous, and stand before Him and say, "Dad, I need your help. I need you here. I feel lost and I'm restless and I need you to settle these things." You can do that. You can have freedom from the weight of earthly pressures that are on you. You can, because there was one who sacrificed His all so that you could have it. Did you know Jesus in heaven had amazing value? He had amazing value. His value was that of God. He was in heaven, in glory. The Bible says that they dwelt together in unity before the foundations of the earth. They dwelt together. The value of God was Jesus Christ, and it was intermittent between them. It was transitioning between them. The holiness of God traveled between Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. If you can imagine that, it blows my mind. I don't even want to spend time thinking about it. But He had that holiness available. His value is that of God. And He took His value and He made Himself a servant. So earthly of a servant that He bent down on a knee with a towel and washed the feet, the crap-filled feet of His disciples. Washed it off. He walked a street to a cross, naked, nailed to a cross. This God with all this value made Himself of no value, hung like a thief on a cross, so that you could have value that you never deserved. Position? He had position. He's the one true Son of God. He's the one that dwelt with God. The Word became flesh. The Word of God that was present in the Old Testament and throughout. The one man that had the position clearly identified in the Bible as the Son of God. He had position to ask God anything He needed, anything He wanted. Authority in that. He had the authority to speak to rocks to be broken and have water spill out of them. Jesus Christ had authority over heaven and earth. He had the position of authority, and He laid that position down and became a foreigner to the God that He had called Dad, so that we could be familiar to that God, so that you could be a son. He became a stranger. Freedom, He had it. He had freedom in this life and in heaven. He had freedom so much so that even when He came to earth and walked with His disciples, they wanted to make Him the king. They wanted to have Him reigning over everything. And instead of using that liberty and using that power and that authority to reign over us and to be free Himself here on earth, He laid down every freedom He could ever imagine and gave it all up for one reason: because He chose you. Because He wanted you to know the freedom that comes through Him. So what's your next step? If you're in the room and you've experienced that, and right now you're saying, "I know that. I believe like my value and my position and my freedom, I'm so glad that I know that and I have that in my life. I pray that that goes deeper in me." If that's your response to this word tonight, then I want you to do one thing. I want you to start praying for the people in this room who don't know that. Not just the people in this room, but the people in your classroom who don't understand that, who don't understand their value and their position and their freedom. Because the weight of that, as you know, is crushing. If you're in the room and those things, they sound good and you wish you had them, and you wish had that value that wasn't dependent on things and people and pressures from this world, and you wish you had the position before God where you could ask for whatever you needed and He would respond. If you wish you had freedom and light-footedness and the ability to see past tomorrow's tragedy, then I want to invite you to know the God that wrote these words about you. The way you do that is simply by saying, "God, You chose me, I choose You. You chose me first, I choose You back. Have my life." You don't have to change a thing. You don't have to start acting better. You don't have to change your clothes. You don't have to change your behavior. God says He came for the sick. He came for those who don't know Him, and He dwells with us in our misery so that He can bring us out from darkness into light. He goes into the darkness to bring us into the light. So tonight, I want to ask you in this moment for every mouth to be closed, every eye to be just bowed to the floor for the next couple seconds. And I want to invite you, if you have prayed this prayer before and you're realizing now that you've sought your values somewhere else and you've sought for things in other places, I want to ask you to reposition yourself before God as His child and the one who chooses His love and not the love of other things. Who you are before God is a beloved child. Who you are before Him, not dependent on your behavior, not dependent on your status, not dependent on whatever, simply dependent on the fact that you're a creation of Him. He loves you. And He says, I choose you. No matter who you are in the room, if the Spirit is moving on your heart, if you want to respond to this word, it's three simple words. I choose you. You can pray that in the quiet of your heart. You can pray it out loud, however you want to. But the Lord of glory laid down His life so that you could be free. And if you're in the room tonight and you've never experienced freedom like I've been talking about, or value like I've been talking about, or a position like that, I want to encourage you to test Him and say to God, I choose you. I choose you tonight. Let this be the night that He has all of your heart. Father, I thank You for everybody in this room tonight. I thank You that on January 23rd, 2013, there are people in this room right now that are choosing You. Thank You, God, that we don't have to wait for giant events or for quiet times at home in our room. While all those things are good and they can happen, I thank You for those in this room right now that are choosing You, choosing Your love for them. God, we together say to You, have Your way. I pray for those in this room who don't know You or who are far from You to meet You and to experience Your love for them. I thank You, Lord. I praise You. Amen. Amen. You guys, we have a great opportunity for those of you who are interested in going further in your faith, for those of you who are interested even in getting help along your way in your journey. If you're already believing and you want to know more about this faith that you've experienced, or if you're just starting out and tonight was the first time you ever prayed that prayer and you said, I choose you, then I want to ask you on your way out of the room to pick up a Learning to Follow Jesus booklet, the seven qualities of a Christ follower. Fill out the card in the back and turn it into Tina tonight before you leave.